Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narches Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Putin's People by Catherine Dalton is an investigative non-fiction account of how Vladimir Putin rose from the Soviet security services into Russia's highest office and how a circle of former KGB and security officials consolidated power after the Soviet collapse. Written by a journalist with long experience reporting on Russia, the book follows the interplay between politics, intelligence, and big money from the 1990s onward, showing how state structures and private fortunes became tightly entangled. Dalton argues that networks shaped by the KGB mindset survived the end of the USSR, adapted to capitalism, and reasserted control over key levers of the economy and the Kremlin itself. A major thread is the outward reach of that system, including the use of Western financial centers, legal protections, and business relationships to store wealth and project influence. The result is a dense, source-driven narrative aimed at explaining not only Putin's ascent, but also the broader architecture of power around him and its international consequences. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from Soviet security culture to post-Soviet power networks, a central topic is continuity. Rather than treating the Soviet collapse as a clean break, the book presents a picture of former security officials maintaining relationships, habits of secrecy, and a belief that the state can be defended through covert methods. Dalton traces how people linked to the KGB and its successor agencies remained positioned to influence decisions during the chaotic 1990s, when Russia's political institutions were weak and vast state assets were being redistributed. In this environment, the boundaries between intelligence work, political maneuvering, and commercial opportunity blurred. The book's narrative emphasizes how loyalty networks, kompromat-style leverage, and informal patronage could be more decisive than formal rules. Putin is depicted not as a solitary architect, but as a figure whose career benefited from powerful sponsors and institutional backing, with the security services offering both a cadre reserve and a governing ethos. This theme helps explain why the Russian state that emerged could combine elections and markets with strong centralized control, surveillance instincts, and a readiness to use pressure against opponents at home and abroad. Secondly, the making and management of oligarchic wealth. Dalton devotes substantial attention to the rise of the oligarchs and the way wealth and political influence became intertwined in the post-Soviet economy. The book situates the oligarchic class in the rapid privatizations and asset transfers of the 1990s, when insiders, bankers, and well-connected businessmen gained control of strategic resources. A key argument is that this wealth never existed fully independent of the state. As the Kremlin regained strength under Putin, the relationship between big business and political authority shifted from negotiation to clearer subordination. The book treats high-profile clashes, including the prosecution of Mikhail Khodorkovsky, as signaling a new settlement private power would be tolerated so long as it did not challenge the Kremlin or attempt to separate major resource assets from state influence. This topic is not only about individuals, but about a system in which ownership can remain conditional, where legal mechanisms, tax investigations, and state companies can be used to reorganize property. The resulting model resembles state-dominated capitalism with selective enforcement, creating both vast fortunes and persistent vulnerability for those inside the elite. Thirdly, Siloviki consolidation and the architecture of a modern security state. Another important theme is the ascent of the Siloviki, people drawn from the security and law enforcement apparatus, and how their rise shaped governance. The book describes a concentration of authority in the executive branch and the growth of security service influence across ministries, major companies, and the media sphere. Instead of a liberalizing trajectory, Dalton portrays a state increasingly run through informal chains of command and personal loyalty, with the security services acting as both information gatekeepers and enforcers. This topic includes the use of surveillance, criminal cases, and administrative pressure to manage dissent and discipline insiders. It also highlights how narratives of national restoration and resentment over the Soviet collapse can be politically useful, helping legitimize centralization and portray opposition as aligned with hostile external forces. The book suggests that the security state is not only repressive but also managerial, coordinating the distribution of rents and the containment of elite conflict. By explaining how institutions and networks reinforce each other, this topic clarifies why policy can appear opaque, why accountability is limited, and why political outcomes can be shaped by closed decision-making rather than transparent debate. Fourthly, money flows abroad and the use of Western systems. Dalton places strong emphasis on how Russian wealth and influence extend into the West through finance, law, and business. The book discusses the role of offshore structures, shell companies, and complex transactions that can move money across borders and obscure beneficial ownership. It also points to the importance of major financial centers that offer liquidity, property markets, and professional services. enabling capital to be protected and reputations to be polished. This topic is less about a single scheme than about a pattern money. Leaving Russia is not merely personal enrichment, but can create leverage, relationships, and influence. The narrative connects these flows to political risk, since embedded capital can make institutions hesitant to confront sources of wealth or investigate aggressively. Belton also highlights how opaque corporate structures complicate enforcement and how the line between legitimate investment and strategic influence can be hard for regulators to police. The practical payoff of this topic is conceptual clarity about kleptocracy as a global phenomenon. The book suggests that Western openness can be exploited when transparency is weak, and that the consequences are not confined to Russia, affecting democratic resilience and policy choices in countries that absorb this capital. Lastly, information operations, influence, and confrontation with the West. The final major topic is the outward-facing dimension of the system. Belton describes how a security service-shaped elite might operate beyond Russia's borders. The book frames this as a mix of influence building, opportunistic relationship making, and hostility toward perceived Western encirclement. Rather than presenting a single master plan, it depicts a toolkit that can include cultivated business ties, media narratives, and the strategic use of relationships in politics and commerce. And this topic aligns with the book's subtitle about taking on the West, emphasizing that the post-Soviet settlement was never purely domestic. Belton argues that Western complacency after the Cold War created openings, with many actors treating Russian money as detached from Russian power. The book also underscores how ambiguity can be useful when actions are deniable and networks are informal, attribution and response become difficult. As a result, influence can be exercised through incremental pressure rather than overt confrontation. This topic helps readers connect internal dynamics, such as the need for loyalty and rent distribution, with external behavior, such as aggressive diplomacy and the cultivation of sympathetic voices. The broader implication is that understanding Russia's foreign posture requires understanding its internal power structure and the security services worldview. In conclusion, this book best suits readers who want a detailed investigative map of how power works in contemporary Russia and how that power intersects with global finance and Western politics. Journalists, policy professionals, students of intelligence, and general readers with patience for a dense cast of figures will gain the most. The intellectual benefit is structural. It connects biography, institutional history, and financial behavior into a single explanation for why Russia's system proved resilient and why its actions abroad can feel both strategic and improvisational. Practically, it sharpens the reader's ability to spot recurring mechanisms of state, capture informal loyalty networks, selective law enforcement, conditional property rights, and the externalization of wealth into jurisdictions that provide secrecy and legal insulation. Compared with many books focused mainly on Putin as an individual, Putin's People stands out for its emphasis on the surrounding network and the way security service culture persists through changing economic forms. It also stands apart from purely geopolitical overviews by treating money movement, corporate structures, and Western enabling conditions as central to the story rather than side details. While some critics note the challenges of verifying claims in such a closed system and the book's reliance on interviews, its value lies in assembling a coherent, consequential picture of how post-Soviet Russia evolved and why its reach extends far beyond its borders. If you would like to support Catherine Belton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.